Self-control, thank you. Anyway, we are looking at the fruits of the Spirit. We have been looking at the fruits of the Spirit over the last couple of months, actually. It's been quite a while now. And we've touched on each one of them as we've been going through. And I've got the fortunate part of wrapping up with the last one today. And as we come to looking at these characteristics of the fruit, self-control is quite important. And I'd just like to open up in reading or recapping the passage in Galatians. So if you've got your Bibles, please turn with me. We're going to be reading from Galatians 5, 16 through 26. I'll be reading from the NIV version, so if yours are slightly different, might be because you've got the King James, New King James, ESV, ASV, I'm not sure, but there's plenty of versions out there. But the context is still the same. So reading from Galatians 5, 16. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the Spirit desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, and witchcraft. Hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh and its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. Some believe that as you go through the characteristics of the fruit, they're kind of like this layered onion, if you want to put it that way, that each one builds on the next step. You've got love, the sense of deep love when you come to know the Savior. And then after that comes this joy of knowing that you are loved by the Creator and that He wants to know you. And then there's peace, peace that comes between you and God through the blood of Christ. And self-control can be seen as this overarching characteristic that controls all of them. Where self-control is the restraint or the exercising of one's own impulses, emotions, desires, actions, and speech. It's something that governs everything about you. Now, there are those that also believe that when you get saved, that's it, you get all this stuff. Part of that's true, but it doesn't happen like that. It's not instantaneous. What happens is, when we become saved, we receive the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit comes, He starts His work in you. The work of sanctification, the work of making you holy, the work that bears this fruit. And that's the evidence. That's what distinguishes us from the world, is this evidence, this working of the Holy Spirit. But there's always a but, isn't there? Unfortunately, it's never clean or plain sailing as we would hope it to be. We are at war. We're at war with the Holy Spirit. We have this desire, this flesh, that just doesn't want to let go. And it's constantly at war with the Holy Spirit. And we struggle. We want to do our own thing, and the Holy Spirit wants us to do something. And you're continuously going backwards and forwards like this. But that doesn't mean that when we sin, that we are guiltless, we still have consequences. The difference is now, once we've been saved and we have this war and we sin and we fall for the flesh or the desires of the flesh, we are covered by the blood of Christ. There's a difference between us and the world. Verse 17 says, "For the flesh desires what is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want." Our flesh is in conflict. Our desires is in conflict with the spirit. And this hinders us. This stops us. This prevents us. Jeremy last week mentioned cultivation. Well, this desire, this flesh that wins, poisons the soil which the Holy Spirit cultivates in. And the fruit struggles to grow. There's a war, like I said, and it wages in us. And it spills over into our lives. Corrupting. We look around at the world today, we have evidence of that, don't we? I don't think I have to go far for you to admit that we can see the results of these desires or this war that's waging. If I had to say war, what's the first thing that jumps to mind? Ukrainian, isn't it? We all sit on the edge of our seats waiting for Putin to push the big button. We live with war around us. The economy. Who knows what's going on with that? But people war against that. The greedflation is what they call it these days. Greedflation. It's a desire to have more than what you should. How about gender? Gender's a big one, isn't it? I see a lot of heads nodding, but gender's a big one at the moment. People want to be able to identify the way they want to identify. They want to do their things, the desires of the flesh. It's a war. It's a war. And we can lose control. And we do lose control. Because we're at war as well. Now, I'll be honest with you, kind of like Wise this morning, I struggled with this sermon, Wise. I wanted to go one way, but I had to excel self-control and say, Lord. And the night that we were choosing all these topics or characteristics, if you want to put it that way, I was in the room with all the others, and we were going around, and Jamie asked, you know, who, and I candidly said, oh, whatever, you know, I'll take whichever one. In the back of my mind, actually, I was saying, don't give me self-control, please. Don't give me self-control. The reason, I know it sounds funny, but the reason is because I struggle with it. I really do struggle with it. I have. And I can only thank the Lord that I'm not the same today as I was 25 years ago. I struggled, and I do struggle with anger and rage. It boils up inside of me. And I've had to learn the hard way, the real hard way, what it can do to you, how it can cut to the depths of your soul, how it can hinder you, and how it takes a long time to heal. I'm being raw and honest with you here. This is hard for me. I don't want to go into all the details, but I think the Holy Spirit's got his work cut out with me, and he has. But I know what it's like to lose control. I really do. And losing control affects our emotions. It affects our actions. It affects our desires. It affects who we are. It affects who we are. And there's consequences. Losing control will rob you of your peace. It will rob you of your joy. It will rob you of your love. And as this war rages in you and it spills over, it damages relationships. And you have to go say sorry because of the things you've said. I've had to do that many times. Go and say sorry. Man up. Man up, or suck it up and go and say sorry. It's not easy, but I've had to do it. And some of the relationships that even though I've said sorry and we've kind of agreed, there's still something there. It's never truly gone. It leaves a scar. My oldest son, for instance, I was harsh on the guy. And even today, there's a barrier between us. Because I couldn't control myself. I lost my temper. I lost my words. And it scarred us. And it hurts. It hurts. It does. You can lose control and it can damage yourself emotionally, physically, mentally, abuse, financially. If you just can't say no, you lack of self-control, saying no when you're buying something. You land up with credit card debt. That's why Rachel has a job. I'm not being mean. People just can't say no. That's why we have such a police force. Because people cannot resist. People cannot stop warring. So this morning is kind of partly scriptures, but it's also lessons I've learned. So I'm going to try and apply these lessons, these battle-scarred lessons. And the lessons from wise men that I've been influenced by in my life. But they're also lessons I've learned from God. Because He's the ultimate. Firstly, I learned that I needed to learn self-control. And I had to teach myself certain things. Now, normally these ones are the hard lessons. Those lessons when you bump your head. It's those lessons where you've done something wrong and you've had to go say sorry and you go, I shouldn't do that again. The bumping ones. Those ones where the husband just goes, yes, dear. Because he knows whatever he says will be the start of an argument. And he just goes, yeah. Yeah, some people are laughing. They know what I mean. Don't leave me standing, men. But you've had to learn it. Normally by you saying the wrong thing. Walking away from a fight. How often do we want to rise up and fight the fight? But sometimes walking away is better. You maintain the control and you don't give rise and you don't satisfy their desires. Walk away. They might see you as a coward. But it takes a stronger man to walk away from a fight than to get involved in one. And it's just not worth it. Learning what triggers you. What triggers you? If it's certain things on TV, if it's certain things on the computer, if it's stay away from it, steer clear, get rid of it. If it's something on the computer, put something in that stops you from going to those websites. Learn. Do something about it. Removing those temptations. If chocolate is your weakness, remove it. I don't hear the lady saying amen to that one, do I? Never mind. But sometimes you have to remove the temptation in order to exercise self-control. Here's a hard one. Learn your Bible. Learn your Bible. How many of us still memorize verses? It's important to know your Bible. They tell you about God. They tell you about ways in which to exercise self-control. Read through Proverbs, Psalms. Any of those books, they'll tell you and show you. They tell you about the will of God and His character. And that's important. We should know who God is. We should know what He's doing for us and what He has done for us. And that allows the fruit to be cultivated, to grow in us. Learns from others. Learns from others. Others can teach you an element of self-control. They can. Wise men, wise women, get together with groups. They can help you. They can help you. Support groups. The AA, that's what they were born out of. Helping you self-control. Come alongside you, help you on your journey. Make you accountable. So that you can exercise self-control. Weight Watchers, that's a big one, especially in today's society. Yes, you might be able to pop a pill and, you know, lose a couple of kgs and things like that, diet and whatever, but true self-control comes through exercising the right diet. I'm not saying that solves everybody's problem, please. There are people that battle with it, and I agree with that. But I'm just saying a lot of us, we struggle with food. It's a vice. It's one of those desires, debauchery, that comes up in us. We overeat. Weight Watchers, or anyone like that. I'm reminded of a challenge that was thrown out in this church between Martin and Jamie. Do we all forget that one? I think Jamie won, but... But that was an exercise in weight control, self-control over what you were eating. Jamie calls them sins. He says, I can't have that. It's my sin, or I've had my quota of sins. We laugh about it, but you see, self-control, we can learn it. We can. Okay, so there's an element there. Connect groups. Get connected with a connect group. They'll help you with learning the Bible, making you accountable to other brothers and sisters. Prayer meetings. They can help you learn how to pray. They can learn, or you can learn from other people. I've plugged connections and prayer groups, Jamie. But no, seriously, if you want to know about how self-control can be taught by others, go read Titus 2. I challenge you, go read it. In fact, the whole of Titus 2 is about self-control. It's an excellent chapter. You will learn some stuff. So you can learn from yourself, you can learn from others, and you can learn from the Holy Spirit. You can learn from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was sent to be our teacher. He was sent by the Father. John 14, 26, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach all things and remind you of everything I have said. He's the ultimate teacher. And he has a role and responsibility. Part of that sanctification I mentioned earlier is him teaching you, controlling you, showing you. Titus 2 says this, says, for the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people, talking about Christ. It teaches us to say no, talking about the Holy Spirit. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives. One of the roles of the Holy Spirit is to teach you self-control, to teach you to say no to the temptation. That's his role. The ultimate teacher, God himself. Are you allowing the Holy Spirit to teach you? I'm going to leave that question hanging. Are you allowing him to teach you? So firstly, what are you learning? Secondly, walk by the Spirit. Are you walking by the Spirit? That's how you get self-control. Back to our text, Galatians 5:16 says, so I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Walk by the Spirit. In the Bible, walk normally means a lifestyle, a way of living, your daily living. Walk in this instance is an active present command. A present active imperative. It means it starts now and it has no end. It starts now and has no end. It keeps on going, as long as you keep on going. We're to live our lives in a godly way, godly honoring way. I don't know if you guys say, but we used to say, walk the walk. Walk the walk. Does your lifestyle match what you say? Does it distinguish you from the world? And you do it every day. But it requires us to submit. It requires us to submit. We have to be willing to give to God. I'm reminded of Christ on the night that he was betrayed. He goes to Gethsemane, he prays, and then they all come to fetch him. The mob comes. Matthew 26. And right at the point, he says to them, why did you come? Why did you come with a mob to take me? Do you think I'm like, I'm the leader of a riot? I'm paraphrasing, obviously. But then what he says next, we often miss. He says, do you not know that I could have asked my Father to send 12 legions of angels? But he exercises self-control in order to fulfill the scriptures, in order to fulfill the will of God. He exercises self-control and goes to the cross. We often forget that, don't we? We often forget that he was walking in a God-honoring lifestyle that honored the Father. Walking by the Spirit will help us. It will help you overcome your desires and your flesh. And those things that come between you, God, he can help you. And in so doing, you can gain control again of your life. You can gain control of your life, your flesh, and your walk. Even when the world seems out of control. How's your walk today? How's your walk today? Thirdly, be led by the Spirit. Be led by the Spirit. Verse 18 says, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Led by the Spirit. Again, this is an active command, active and present. Means do it from now onwards. Keep on going. It's not something you do yesterday and forget about it, or on a Sunday, and on Monday, well, who knows? Too often we all come to Sunday and we tick a box and we go home, and on Monday the world can't tell the difference. We've met people like that, haven't we? We know people like that. To walk your life and to be led by the Spirit is an ongoing, active action. We have to be doing it. We have to be in there doing it. And it requires us to submit again. We have to be open to the Holy Spirit. We have to be receptive to him leading us. If we're not, we hinder him. And those fruits can't be cultivated. Matthew 4 is a chapter about God being, or Christ being tempted. We often know that the 40 days and he gets led into the, you know, and he goes and he has the three trials and all that. But what we often miss is verse 1, chapter 4, verse 1. It says this, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Christ was led. Christ was led. Christ gave control over. Christ again fulfilled the plan and the will of the Father. and the Holy Spirit. Christ submitted. And if Christ saw fit to submit, what about you? What about you? If he was a living example for us, what about you? What about you? We live in a world that's out of control. Like I said earlier, we see it everywhere. We see it everywhere with corruption, war, and whatever else is going on. The world is in chaos. I see lots of heads nodding. You know what I mean. Maybe even your life feels like it's out of control. Maybe you're struggling emotionally. Maybe you're struggling mentally. Maybe you're struggling financially, physically. I don't know. I've shared what I struggle with. And I struggle with it all the time when somebody cuts in front of me, or nothing like road rage to get me right up there, but and then I've really got to exercise self-control. But I admit I'm not holy. I'm not there yet. I haven't got it right. But what I can tell you is that the Holy Spirit is still working through me. He's still working in me. And hopefully that's spilling over into my life and into my family. And they can testify that I'm not the same person I was. There's evidence to the changings. Maybe you're looking for that change. Maybe you're looking to know the Holy Spirit. Maybe you're looking to get some control back in your life. Maybe that's what you desire. But it starts with your faith in Christ, with a salvation, understanding the blood. You can't do it by works. Too often we try and be a good people. We try to love. We try to be kind. We try, but we fall short because we don't know this true source. And that's God. That's God. God is love. God is truth. God is. Go through the Bible. God is. He's the true source. Maybe you've lost sight of who God is and what he's done for you in your life. Count your many blessings, name them one by one. It's a song we used to sing growing up. Don't know if they still sing it, but probably not. But look back at the end of the day. Count your blessings. See what God has done for you. And if you can, name them. And you'll be surprised. God is waiting for you. He wants to know you. He wants to teach you. He wants to walk with you. He wants to lead you. He wants to cultivate the fruit in you so that you can make an impact in a world that needs it. The question is, what are you doing? What are you doing? Are you sitting there? Or are you submitting? Are you submitting? I'm going to leave you with that. And as you go into communion, just think of that. Christ exercising control in order to fulfill the Father's plan so that we can have self-control in our lives.